sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
So usually I start with a rap verse. Not usually, just lately I've been starting with a rap verse before I welcome you. And fuck it. You know what? Fuck it. I'm forgetting. This is my podcast. Fuck it. All right, I'm going to do one, but this one's in French. Shout out pour Diam. And it goes, parce que c'est en français, I'm going to say ça vient de la chanson. It comes from the track, Si C'était Le Dernier. And it goes, well, no, I'm not going to recite the whole thing, but just a part that's going to touch on something I'm going to talk about later on. So it goes, rien que je rappe, car je ne parle plus tôt, que je ne parle plus tôt, voici un ego trip, très gros, ouais, voici mon plus beau titre. J'ai pris la locomotive en pleine course, émotive, j'ai pris la connerie humaine en pleine bouche. Oh my God. Je suis trop fragile pour ce monde, donc parfois je me bats. Et si toutefois je tombe, ben je me relève et je me bats. Il n'y a pas de place pour les faibles. La vie est une lutte. Tu veux devenir célèbre? Sache que la vie de star est une pute. All right, okay, all right. Hey, bienvenue. Welcome to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Okay, before I start, I got to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. The red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on December 7, 2022. What time is it? 7:27 p.m. Kind of late. 2 hours after work, well, 2 hours, whatever, okay? This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I forgot to say that it's actually welcome to a mid-episode. Mid-episode. See, when I first started, I was... Who am I talking to? Am I like talking to the new listeners or to the old listeners? Whatever. Again, be black. It's your podcast. Do what you got to do. All right. So, new listeners, usually when I started out, I was recording on the weekend. So, recording midweek is a new thing for me, right? It's to stop me from doing drugs during the week. Whether that's true or not, I guess you're going to have to listen to past episodes to know what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, that first piece of poetry that I recited was by a French rapper. Her name is Diam, and the track is called Si C'était Le Dernier. And it's kind of has to do with, before I get to that, because I'm going to go for the rundown sheet before I go for my title ideas. But I am going to hang on to the idea of the rap song is called Si C'était Le Dernier, and as if this was my last rap song. And it just had me thinking about how if this was my last podcast, because, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Shit. one chicken McNugget away from a heart attack. I don't know, whatever, man. I'm just saying, my health is not that great. Well, not that bad. I mean, you know, at some point I'm going to get on the treadmill or something, whatever the fuck. Get some exercise in there or whatever. But, you know, I am getting older. But that's not the point. My point is I have reached the age where it's not that I'm comfortable with the concept of death. I have gotten comfortable. But I do accept, realize that it's an inevitable. I'm learning to, unlike my younger days, to take life less for granted. Be more appreciative. And remember that, you know, it's like, fuck, in the grand scheme of things of infinity, I'm less than a blip on the monitor. And, yeah, man, gone till infinity. I don't know. I guess life, the world's changed a bit for me when I stopped believing in the afterlife and the concept of an afterlife. I thought it would be too good. I mean, yeah, so, and it's just one big darkness. My point is the idea of one day I'm going to record my last podcast. And like Tupac says, don't shed a tear for me, nigga. I ain't happy here. You know, it's just that. It's just, I know that sounds like a sad thing to say, but fuck, man, what the fuck you want me to tell you? In certain cultures, I think it's just ours. I think some cultures have a more mature way, more realistic way of, on the concept of death. For us, it's automatically, oh man, don't bring that up. You're making me feel like shit. But I'm just, you know, fuck, it is what it is, man. I guess my recommendation, if thinking of death inspires you to be less of an asshole, then man, fuck it. Yeah, I think some of us might, that's how you need to see the world, man. That tomorrow you're not gonna be around and the only thing he's gonna have is legacy. But then again, maybe that, like, I kind of wish Christopher Columbus, the concept of death made him a better person. Made him, oh shit, like, you know, these motherfuckers gonna be cursing my grave. I mean, yeah. Then did he know or no? I know. Did he go out as a hero and telling himself that, yeah, I'm, you know, I get bitches. I conquered this world. And then like that? Or did he go to his grave going, man, I'm an asshole. Fuck all this money and shit. Too bad I can't take it to heaven with me. But I really hope when I get to the afterlife, those fucking indigenous people that I ripped off and killed and murdered and enslaved aren't going to be there waiting for me to kick my ass or whatever. I don't know. Whatever, man. I'm just... Yeah, okay, hold on. Let me go down through the run sheet. The first item I gotta get this shit off my chest, get this out the way. If you listen to the last episode, which was... fuck, man. How am I forgetting? I'm already forgetting. Episode 035. holy shit. It's only a few days. I released it. Okay, here we go. Arrived on the day Fred Hampton died. There we go. Should have remembered that. Yes. Today's December 7th, and Fred Hampton, he died on the 4th. Yeah. In that episode, I was going through a whole bunch of things that went on during that week, and especially on December, like, on December 4th, it was the death of Jay-Z. Oh, my God, B, wake up. Did I mention I worked a full day of work? You know what I mean? You kids are lucky that daddy's giving you some attention. Right. What the fuck was I saying? December 4th, Sean Carter's, Jay-Z's birthday. That was his birthday. And it's also the death anniversary of Fred Hampton. What I forgot, and only this shit only showed up in my timeline after I hit publish on the last episode or hit stop on the last podcast, is unbeknownst to me at the time, is December 4th, 2001 is also the day that Nas released Ether, which is kind of one of the greatest, most vicious diss track in hip hop. If I have to explain to you what Ether is, maybe this podcast ain't for you. I mean, because hip hop is a really big thing for me. Well, I say hip hop, 90s hip hop. Ow, early hip hop, the hip hop I grew up on. Not to say that today's hip hop is no good. I'm not being that guy. I'm saying, as a teenager, hip hop played a bigger role in my life. And today's hip hop is, yeah, let's just say it's not designed for me. Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the rappers I've heard have said it all, and you people aren't going to say anything that I haven't heard already. Like, if I grew up, if I was a teenager now, I'd probably be more into today's hip-hop, but now it's, yeah, I'm stuck in my old, I'm the old guy, man. I'm the old guy saying, yo, put that radio back on, oldies. Play the oldies. You kids in your fucking rock and roll, fucking back in my days. We listen to Motown. I don't know, whatever. I don't know how people talk back then. I mean, I'm lying, but yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, where was I? Yeah, so Ether. Yeah, I still remember it here. Yeah, Ether, dope ass track. I think what's funny, what I forget is how Nas, how I missed that, how Nas released a diss track against Jay-Z on his birthday. Fuck, damn. Fuck, if I was Jay-Z, I'd murder that motherfucker. Fuck, I'd drop a bomb on Queensbridge. If he does have more shooters in Queensbridge than Nas, then he should have gotten them to work. Anyway, yeah. Now, okay, no, kidding aside, man. One of the greatest disses, I mean, beefs in hip-hop history, one of, not all, not the best one, has got to be between Nas and Jay-Z, because I was emotionally invested in that motherfucker. Even at the barbershop, fucking all emotional. So, yeah, man. And I was Team Nas at the time. And this was before I was a huge fan of Jay-Z. But yeah, I was on Team Nas. So, you know, Pac didn't like Jay-Z. Nas doesn't like Jay-Z. So I don't like Jay-Z. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. One of the greatest beef in hip-hop history. Why? To me, it's one of the greatest because it ended with these two men reconciling. Oh my God. When I wasn't at the concert, but heard about that concert. Was that off the internet? Yeah, I heard about, yeah, it must have been off the internet. Yeah, I heard about that concert, read about that concert where Jay-Z has had a surprise guest appearance by Nas, and I'm up for president to represent me. I'm out for president to represent me. And I just reading that article, I was like emotional, near tears. Back then, you know, well, I'm still stuck on that. You know, back then, if I was more enlightened, I would have allowed myself to cry. But yes, hearing how these two men reconciled, it just, I love how they were encouraging us, or it was an example, us youths, did you say youths? Youths can use as what it is to be a grown man. Sometimes you got to set beef aside. Anyway, it was beautiful, man. All right, yeah, I got that out the way. Okay. All right. Let me jump into title ideas. So between the last episode and now, I should mention that I don't know if it's because I'm Haitian, but I'm doing a lot of hand gestures, and I'm knocking water bottles and shit like that. That's why I make sure to get a water bottle with a lid on it. Anyway, yeah. Again, new listeners, man. If this is your first episode, Be Black goes on motherfucking tangents. If you're those type of people who like A, B, C, D, E structures and shit like that, yeah, maybe not the right podcast for you. And I'm not trying to throw people away from this podcast. It's more me trying to stop being accommodating. It's like, this is just me doing me on this. I'm trying to do me and resist the temptation to be like, oh, wait, okay, no. Some folks like structure. Some people like to do this. Some people like prefer this, that, and the third. No, this is a podcast, and I'm pretending I'm the only audience out there. You know what's interesting about when I'm recording this podcast is how the only time I like the sound of my voice is during the recording. After the recording, I'm like, fuck, I hate this guy. But it's got to be like a specific volume setting, a specific, like I gotta hear myself in my headphones, in my noise canceling headphones very well. Where was I? Title ideas. Yes. Between the last episode and now, a lot's been going through my mind. And you know what? Before I go through the rundown, I'm just gonna read out these titles, and because it's gonna summarize everything I've been thinking, right? I go through several thoughts in a minute. Yeah, and it's one of my curses. So here goes. Yeah, one is operating. So all this to say, I haven't figured out what the title of this episode is going to be by the time I hit publish. By the time I not hit publish, before I hit publish, by the time I after I hit stop. But the way I feel, by the time after I'm done recording, I'll have a certain feeling and go with this title. But right now, the working titles are, but not limited to, Operating Under the Crooked American System for Too Long. Shout out to Outkast. That is, that's a line, that's actually the intro line, the beginning line of their track on their first album called True Dat. It's not a track, it's more of an interlude. And no, I just like interlude slash speech. And I love how the person speaking, oh shit, maybe I should give you a name because I want to give you the impression that I'm like organized and got my shit together. Big Rube, that's his name, Big Rube. I just like how he describes what it means to be an outcast, because lately I've been feeling like an outcast. I'll get to that. I'll get to that. I say lately. Hold on a second. Okay, what you just heard in the background was my Google assistant thinking, "Hey, what? Are you? Did you want me? Did you want some attention? What? You know?" But really, what I think is the fucking feds are have tapped my telephone and accidentally tripped some button that gets Google to act up. That's what it is. Every time she comes on, I'm thinking the feds are listening to me. I'm not paranoid. I'm just saying. I mean, sure. If I was looking at myself, I'd say, yeah, you're paranoid. And maybe I am acting paranoid, but I am not paranoid. It's like, come on. I don't want to sound paranoid. You know what I mean? I'm not paranoid. Just like the person who says something racist isn't racist. All right. Okay. Operating for two. Being an outcast. Two. Si c'était le dernier. That's a. See, here's the thing. Si c'était le dernier, the track I just by Diam that I was just speaking about earlier on, and that one is because. See, every time I do an episode, I try to find a track that inspires me to, like, yeah, hit record, B. Hit record for this podcast and feel myself like this artist. So what I like about this Si C'était Le Dernier, oh, the reason initially I was going to go with Si C'était Le Dernier is because of a line in that track that goes, je suis trop fragile pour ce monde. I'm too sensitive. I'm too fragile for this world. And that's sometimes, that's probably another theme in this episode is feeling like I wasn't not meant to be in this world. Because look, man, if you're a sensitive human being, part of the people on this planet, out of the 8 billion people on this planet who are sensitive, you know, the world, hypersensitive, I think that's the word is, the world looks down on you, but you realize that, I don't know how to compare being something like being introverted, but it's just one of those things that make people be like, oh, fuck, man. It's goddamn. We got to make adjustments for your bitch ass. Anyway, yeah. If you're one of those people who are sensitive, who empathize with assholes, naturally empathize with people, even assholes, sometimes it feels like this world is just too harsh for you. It's just too challenging for you. Now I gotta remember that there's 8 billion people. Well, I think, are we at 8 billion now? Yeah. 8 billion people on this planet. And the people in my circle represent a very small, minute fraction of the people on this planet. So there must be, I'm saying this because I grew up with people who being sensitive was a bad thing. It was a curse. Was, you know, you're better off saying, yeah, I'm a bitch ass nigga. Not just weak, but also an inconvenience. You're a fucking inconvenience for us. Shit, I have relatives complain about that shit, you know. But, oh, fuck, man. Okay, yeah, you're sensitive. Oh, my God, we got to watch what we say around you and shit like that. While at the same time taking advantage of the fact that, they complain about it. Wow. Using it to their advantage. It's interesting. It's anyways, yeah. So that line by Diane when she says she's trop fragile pour ce monde, especially when she says that trop fragile pour ce monde, but I'm translating, this is my interpretation of it, but it sounds like, and sometimes I'm just, you know, gotta leave the spot. She says je me bats. I thought she says I stay alone, but no, it means I guess I think she's saying she steps away from situation where, okay, yo, my sensitivity is not going to work out here. I'm out. Peace. But I love the next line. She says how in this world, survival of the fittest in this world. So how she's a fighter. And so when she talks about being sensitive, it's not her way of saying I'm weak. No, it's her way of saying that, yo, if my sensitivity is a problem for you people, I'm out. I'm trying to think of something to compare it to. I don't know, man. It's like just you have a trait that, yeah, some people just, I get it. Every human being would rather go somewhere and be appreciated, not tolerated, appreciated. So if you step into a scene where you're surrounded by people who feel like they're going to have to tolerate your sensitivity, then go fuck yourself. I said, yeah, anyway, yeah. So yeah, title like this. That's where I'm at. Yeah, si j'étais trop, si c'était le dernier, trop fragile pour ce monde. The next one is, sometimes I look up at the stars and analyze the sky. It's either that or ask myself, was I meant to be here, comma, why? And those last two titles idea comes from Ghostface Killer's track, All That I Got. No, all that is you. Bling, bling. All That I Got Is You. Yeah. And that's probably one of the realest track for me. For me, I'm not, Ghostface Killer fans. Please don't write in. I'm saying for myself, that's got to be one of the realest track Ghostface Killer has ever written. I'm not saying best or whatever, but it's the one that it was like poetry. It's like it touched my soul type of track. Like, I was surprised. I thought that dude was into, like, you know, smacking bitches and slamming kind of Cadillac doughs, you know what I mean, shit like that. But I like that he had a track where he's somewhat vulnerable, tough guy being vulnerable, and it's the dope ass track. But yeah, all right, those last two ideas has to do with something about, actually, the first item I have on my rundown sheet. It's an interesting. It's interesting how I started with. I thought this episode was going to go one way and ends up being another way. So all this to say, and ask myself, was I meant to be here? Why? No. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me just explain myself. All right. Sometimes I look up at the stars and analyze the sky. That has to do with the fact that this morning, I can't remember. I think this must have been after I had my coffee, because this morning I was really not inspired, man. There was some gray skies out there, and I don't know, something about the world was just not, had me feeling uninspired. Granted, things changed as soon as the coffee kicked in. You know, shout out to Juan Valdez or whoever, or to the homie who grind my coffee beans. I don't know how coffee is made or picked from the ground, but however that coffee came to me, shout out to everyone involved in that process. So after the coffee kicked in, Tidal, which is what I use as my music player, decides to play a whole bunch of R. Kelly song. I don't know what the fuck that's about. And and I remember getting ready myself to hit stop, but I'm like, I kind of like this song. First it was When a Woman's Fed Up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna keep playing that one. And then it was You Better Be Careful What You Say to Me. But the uncensored version, which I didn't realize existed, that went along. But I found myself in this reflecting mode, and this is what I wrote in my notepad. I said, making sense of the world while listening to R. Kelly and reflecting on Joe Jackson, Bill Cosby, and Ferdinand Ward. All right, let me try to make sense out of this, right? It's not just Bill Cosby, Ferdinand Ward, and Joe Jackson and R. Kelly. It's more this idea of this. It's more about how I'm realizing, how do I say this? This is a thought. I guess maybe I should have written it down, but it's more, I've been reflecting on bad people, the bad people in the world, the people who, by bad I mean, the people out there who their existence is making other people's life difficult or challenging, or the con artists, the bad people, the What do you consider bad? I'm just, R. Kelly, shitty human being. Bill Cosby, shitty human being. Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's father, shitty human being based on what he did to these people. And Ferdinand Ward is, for those of you who don't know, I'm getting close to finishing the book by Ulysses Grant. It's one of those names I pronounce better in French than I can in English. Yeah, and the title of the book is, make sure I get this right, Grant, Ron Cherno, by Ron Cherno. Okay, yeah. Anyway, yeah. And Ulysses Grant is the 18th president of the United States. And he's also the general who the world gets credit for. The general who was during the Civil War and who fought against Robert E. Lee, and he kicked his ass. And yeah, man. So he's credited for winning that war. Yo, that dude. See, he's a fascinating human being. I gotta tell you, man. I was gonna say he's a fascinating white man, but no, he's a fascinating human being. And one of my biggest fascinations with this guy is how this dude is a stone cold killer. I mean, he's a nice guy and all, right? But you know, general of the, I don't know if you're familiar with the details of the Civil War, it was kind of ugly. It was kind of dirty. Well, what war isn't ugly? But anyway, but this dude is a famous stone cold killer general and shit like that. But homie sucked at business. Like he was, I hate this word, I hate saying it, but man, that dude had difficulty seeing the bad side of people. Basically, he got played a lot. He got hustled. He got suckered a lot. He was great general, but when it came to business, Jesus Christ, he was. Actually, that's the other thing that makes him fascinating. It's like how he went through his life sucking at everything, but when it came to leading an army into victory, oh my God, he had that shit on lock. Anyway, so Ferdinand Ward is one of the many people who ripped them off. Him and Ulysses Grant had a business venture and homie played him, man. And I remember reading this story and getting that part of the book where they're talking about Ferdinand Ward and how, yeah, he played Ulysses Grant, and that shit just fuck broke my heart, man. I was like, I remember being angry because I was also thinking about Qatar, the country of Qatar, where the FIFA game, FIFA's World Cup is going on. And in the last episode, I talked about how I was trying to, well, maybe I wasn't really trying to, but the people from Qatar who are like, hey, man, stop talking shit about our country, all right? Your country ain't no better than ours. Go fuck yourself, all right? Yeah, because a lot of spotlight's been on their country since they got the FIFA. Like, I don't know what the fuck these people were thinking having FIFA, having the World Cup in their country, and then expecting us to be like, yeah, we're going to gloss over all your humanitarians, over your human rights violations, and not get defensive about that shit. But, you know, I guess then again, what successful country or what leading country doesn't bitch about the fact that, hey, man, look, in order for us to, in order to make an arm, we got to crack some egg. And by crack some egg, we mean is violate some human rights and shit like that. But yeah, I was just reading about the way Qatar was treating their migrants, and it was just breaking my heart. And it was just, Qatar just made me feel like the bad people are winning. This is what bothers me about war. I feel like I live in a world where in order for someone to succeed, someone else has to suffer. In order for one person to be happy, someone else has to be miserable. Did I say that right? Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So it's been fucking with my head, man. It's been sending me down a depression. It's just been making me depressed about this thing of ours called life. And so all this to say, I'm thinking about how here I am jamming to, while sipping on some coffee, jamming to some R. Kelly and thinking about all the poor souls he made miserable. Those poor women that he trapped, that he conned into his, there was a time where they were like pleading to God for some help. And R. Kelly was there to be like, ha ha, Jesus can't save you. You know, and R. Kelly, Joe Jackson. Just sheer coincidence this morning when I woke up, because I have this bad habit of scrolling through social media, and I had hit, I might put it in the show notes if I find it, but it's just this rare, not an interview, but Michael Jackson speaking, I think, on the phone or probably doing an interview, but essentially he's talking about how, what it was like for him to grow up with Joe Jackson. And how he, you know, the man scared the shit out of him, man. And how much he hated his father. And how much his father would be like, yo, you know. See, a lot of black people believe in that shit that, you know, well, no, Joe Jackson had to, you know, had to beat the shit out of his kid. If it wasn't for Joe Jackson, we wouldn't have Michael Jackson beat it. Okay, that's a bad. I wasn't trying to be funny. Joe Jackson had to beat it, Michael Jackson, so we could have beat it. Get it? Ah, you get it. Ah, you kids don't get it. Hold on a second. You know what I forgot to do? Bring up my sound pad. Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you go through my sound pad is the software I use to play soundtrack. Bullfire. There we go. All right. Okay. All right. I still don't have something for laughter. Oh, I'll be damned. Oh, no. You know what I do have? Okay, let me try this again. In order for Michael Jackson to create Beat It, Joe Jackson had to beat him. Oh, stop, fellas, that funny. Stop, calm down, fellas. Fellas, please. Tell your sister I said hi. All right, okay, all right. Where was I? Right, Joe Jackson. See, black people, and I blame slavery for this shit, but black people are big on this whole, oh, man, sometimes you got to kick the shit out of it. In order to get some black excellence, you got to beat the shit out of your kids. I'm like, okay, explain white people. How do they manage to reach excellence without getting the shit kicked out of them? Okay, I'm not, okay, you know, I'm generalizing. You know, let me back up, okay? Well, you got to bring race into this. No, I'm just saying, look, this notion that, you know, treating human beings like diamonds, you got to squeeze the shit out of them so you can produce the best out of them. I'm just saying, I'm like, I think maybe shout out to Michael Jackson for turning lemon into lemonades and ass whooping into a platinum album and creating, like, yo, that man created dances, music, things that we are still jamming today and everyone else is copying from this guy. Anyway, yeah, so I'm just saying, Joe Jackson, Bill Cosby, I'm thinking of the poor women. Oh, my God. The poor, yo, I was in an incident where I had a popular comedian basically gas my head up with their plans for the future and how they were going to take over the world, the comedy world. And basically it sounded like, I got to be careful because this is all interpretation, right? So I'm going to say, I'm not going to mention this comedian's name, but it was probably all in my head. Again, because I think a lot, right? I had this comedian back in the days when I was doing comedy, and he was a popular comedian, and he was talking about how, he was going to be like, basically made it sound like I'm going to be the next Puffy Combs of comedy. I'm going to have my own Def Comedy Jam, my own Bad Boy of comedy. I'm going to have all this shit and blah, 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 you know? And it's like, basically, he had me convinced, like, oh, wow, this motherfucker's he's got some power moves going on. Wow. And shit like that. Let me put it this way. Homeboy created an image in my head that made me realize, that made me feel in the moment that, yo, I need to get down with this guy. I need to get within the proximity of this person because they're going places. Anyways, one day, to selling me on that and all that shit. And then one day they pull some stunt like, hey, come over to my hotel room. We can talk more about it. Here's the real punchline to that story. It was in that moment, the closest I probably came to understanding the victims of Bill Cosby. Because it hit me. I'm like, go over to the hotel room. Now, here's the thing. It might have been innocent. It might have been whatever. But I'm Haitian. Okay, I want to blame the fact that I'm Haitian. But not just Haitian. But I'm a distrustful motherfucker. I'm very méfiant là. Come on, c'est méfiant en anglais. Méfiant. I'm very it's easy for me to be like, yeah, what's the bullshit? I mean, it's funny. Yeah, it's amazing how, because homie sold me on the idea that, yo, fuck it, I'm going to be a living god on earth of comedy. And if you want to get down, you want to hang with me. And then when he did the hotel room, and it's not the invitation to the hotel room that got me. It was more if that dude did a remix on me and said, hey, how bad do you want to be a star? Zip. How much I'll be like, woo, wow, wow, wow. In that moment, I'm not saying that's what happened to the victims of, what I'm saying is, in that moment, homie sold me on the idea of success. You know what I mean? And the only thing that's separating me and that image he just described is his dry dick. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I in that moment, I was like, okay, if he can keep a secret. Shout out to everyone out there who are, you know, who are not allowing their homophobia to disgust them by, I mean, if you're disgusted by this, I mean, I get it, but if I thought, oh, B-Man, oh, man, you talking that shit, whatever, man. Yeah, no. What I'm saying right now is shit that I would not say in a barbershop, because niggas will kill you. Anyway, yeah. No, I'm not saying black people are homophobic. I'm saying the niggas at my barbershop are. Anyways, yeah, so, in that moment, I'm like, look, can I get some guarantees? Because, you know, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know what I mean? Because, look, once I'm successful, once I'm running in the bands, once I'm, like, talking shit about the secret of my success, writing books about how I was successful, of course I'm not going to mention the blowjob part. But, of course, I'm not going to be – I get to – fuck do I care, man? I'm successful. Okay, hold on. Okay, now I'll get back serious. Get seriously, right? In that moment, I felt like I was able to relate to being, you trust someone to be a celebrity and then they drop this shit. Of course I'm offended, but I was thinking about it. But okay, jokes aside, in that moment I was like, oh, wow. Cause homie was like, yeah, come over to my hotel room. What the fuck? Can we meet at Starbucks or some shit like that or whatever? I don't know. It was just, I remember it was so fucking weird getting that invitation and I was like, yeah, I don't trust you, man. Yeah, all I had was images of, it's not just having images of getting molested, it's more consenting to being molested because I want to be successful. That's what was bothering me. What I'm getting at is, fucking Cosby, what I'm getting at, all this to say is how I understand, it's the closest I've come to understand how those poor women, what Cosby put them through, fucking the monsters. Like, you know, it's like some people feel sorry for him that he's an old guy being thrown in jail. Nah, fuck, I love the idea that he was like, yeah, I'm getting away with this. Holy shit. Holy fuck. I'm going to make it to the end without getting caught. And then next thing you know, fuck. But I'm old. People love me. Anyway. So, holy fuck, I just realized that I got off on a tangent that's way longer than this. So, all this to say, I was making sense of the world of R. Kelly, Joe Jackson, Bill Cosby, Ferdinand. And I am not trying to make a point in this. I'm just analyzing the sky right now. I'm just analyzing the playing field. It's like we have these bad people who do things that we enjoy. I've been taught to not be a bad. I fucking hate bad people. Like, to me, bad people is what makes, for me, is what makes my life not worth living. They're a pain in the ass. People are just so fucking difficult, selfish, self-interested, narcissistic. All those people, they just, like, life is hard enough. And I hate the people who just make it more difficult. But I think about it. It's like fucking Bill Cosby. His life wasn't all bad. I mean, it's significantly bad, but it wasn't all bad. R. Kelly, he's fucking, I say it wasn't all bad. If you watch the documentary about Bill Cosby, they start out, before they go into how he was a fucking monster, they establish how, yo, before we found out he was a monster, look at the great shit he did for us. R. Kelly. Dude had some hits. He had songs that I was, I don't play at parties, you know? I mean, I ain't trying to scare the host. I'm just saying, But today I was like in this uninspired mood, and then these songs came on, and I'm like, make sure no one's out here listening to me, listening to R. Kelly. You know? Look, Joe Jackson, Ferdinand Ward, a fucking piece of shit scam artist, con artist. And I'm just saying it's, let me put it this way. No, let me put it, I'm realizing that the world is just complicated. And looking at it in terms of good and bad, I'm not saying they're good. I'm not trying to justify it or whatever. I'm just saying breaking things down into good and bad isn't going to work if I'm trying to analyze this complicated world that we live in. Like, don't get me wrong. If I was God, if I was the creator of the universe and I could decide who goes to hell and whatever, yeah, them motherfuckers would burn in motherfucking hell. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I'm trying to, in that moment, I'm just, it's like I'm staring at the sky, analyzing the stars, and asking myself, was I meant to be here? If so, why? Because these ugly stars are making this world. They're just making, it's just, yeah, it's just, yo, fucking shout out to Ghostface Killah. I know when he wrote that song, he knew what he meant. But that verse hit that moment strongly. All right, I'm going over my time here. Okay, so let me just wrap up here. Not wrap up, but let me get into, again, still figuring out what the title of this episode is going to be. But my day today. Because I did talk about how life is difficult and, I'm doing some thinking, I'm going to rearrange this, I was going to talk about my day today, I am going to talk about my day today, but I'm just going to rearrange this before I get into my day, because it's more jokes than anything else. Okay. Another thing I've been thinking about is operating under the crooked system too long, American system for too long, just a more reflection of how, look, the overall question I'm asking is, shout out to those of us who don't feel like they were meant to be in this world. I'm not talking about whether you are meant, I'm not going to preach to you about, no, we all love you, God has a place for you in this world, there's purpose and all that shit, no. I'm just saying, those of us who just feel, who have this feeling, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if this place is right for me, man. Maybe it is. Maybe we'll snap out of it at some point. But right now, in this particular moment, it just feels like, I don't know. I don't feel compatible. So that's why it's got me thinking about this thing. It's got me thinking about solitude versus loneliness. And it's interesting. There's this person bot or whatever. This one account I follow on Twitter, and the account is called Moral Philosophy. And every once in a while, they ask questions that get me on a thinking of all kinds of things. But I like the question. They said, "Why is being a loner a bad thing?" And and since my last therapy session, I've been contemplating, my therapist has me thinking about the difference between solitude and loneliness. Because at the moment, I can't see the difference. And by that I mean, I enjoy solitude. And loneliness, sure. And I'm not sure, yeah, I enjoy my solitude, and I'm not sure if loneliness is really a bad thing. And I'm thinking of this quote by Robin Williams. Someone posted in the question about why is being a loner a bad thing. First, I got to say, my answer to that question was because me and a friend of mine who just happens to be an extrovert, we were going back and forth on this stuff. And you know, I have a lot of respect for this person, but it's just for this friend. But this is just one of those things we just see. We see eye to eye, but we don't. And so I think I out of bitterness, I said something like, no, fuck it, man. I think the concept of loner is an idea created by extrovert who just simply can't handle the idea that some people just prefer to be alone. As if there's no such thing as loner. It's people who are just pissed off that, look at this loner. He just went to hang out with us. Fuck, he's a loser. I mean, a lot of you motherfuckers aren't worth being around. No, you know what? I'm not, look. People's choice to be alone is may have nothing to do with you. More has to do with us. Like, yeah, for me, I think, okay, so I read that quote, but now let me read the quote from Robin Williams, because this is where this debate on for myself comes between solitude and loneliness. He says, I used to think that the worst thing in life is to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel alone. I don't know why my throat. Oh, I know why. I'm not taking my allergy pills. That's why. Okay, right. Because I have an allergy test coming up in a few days, and he told me not to take my allergy pills. What am I allergic to? I have no fucking idea. All I know is it's fucking. There's something in this room that's causing me to like trip out. But you know, I'm toughing it out. Anyway, here we are. Yeah, no, I've. It's not that I've grown up with people who being around them makes me feel alone. It's more I've gotten used to them. I've like that's been my normal. That, I mean, I have a lot of relatives who look, we just great people, great human beings and all that shit. But look, man, around them, we just don't see eye to eye on a lot of shit. And they're not the type who are into, okay, let me hear your views. No. It's like, look, what the fuck? What the fuck you mean you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What the fuck's wrong with you? Fucking accept him. Accept him! And yeah. I've gotten used to, like, it's my normal to feel alone around people. That's my normal. Going in therapy, I'm realizing that, no, you don't have to feel that way. No. You should start curating your friends and hang out with people who don't make you feel alone. I didn't know that was an option. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought it was, that's what life was, you know, feeling alone, just get fucking used to it, find ways to just make it better. But here we are, yeah. So with that, that's why I found myself enjoying loneliness. Look, man, if I'm going to feel this loneliness, let me do it on my own fucking terms than with some person just talking my ears off about, I don't know, their TPS reports. I don't know, man. One of the greatest things I hate in life is listening to someone just go off about shit I couldn't give a fuck about. But because of their position of power, I have to be like, yeah, okay, yes. Tell me more about how you hate niggers. Yes, okay, yeah, okay, right, all right. Oh, look, 5 o'clock, gotta go. Work is done, 5 o'clock. Punch up. You don't pay me for listening to this shit. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I'm on this journey where I'm trying to figure out the difference between solitude and loneliness. And that's why I'm thinking of that Outkast title, that True That poem, piece, speech, and the verse, operating under a crooked American system for too long. I didn't say for too long. Did it say too long? He goes, operating under a crooked American system too long. Yes, all right. Outcast, pronounced outcast. Adjective meaning homeless or unaccepted in society. But let's look deeper. Let's look deeper than that, yeah. I've also been bumping, that's not going to be a track title, but it's like if this podcast had a soundtrack, the song Here by, what the fuck is her name again? Hold on a second. I wish this thing had a back button. Oh, it does. By Alicia Cara? Yeah, I heard she's Canadian. I think she's Canadian. Yeah, she's Canadian. Is she the one? No, 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 no. 808. Dun, 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 okay. Is that her? No, that's not. Is that her? How many albums does she have? And it doesn't matter. Holy fuck, I'm distracted. Excuse me. I forget. I haven't eaten yet. I mean, I have, but, you know, I need some personal time here. All right. Okay. So, solitude versus loneliness. That's one of the things I've been reflecting on a lot. All right. Last thing. Okay, yeah. Before last things. Tough times. You know what? I'm going to save that for the next episode. I'm going to take that off the show notes. Basically, it was a saying about tough times. And it goes, it was a saying about tough times never last, but tough people do. I'll get to that. I had some thoughts on it, but as I've gone on a long-ass tangent and talked about things that I wasn't expecting to speak about, I don't regret it, but I'm just saying, yeah, I'm going to save that for another episode. Good for you, B. This is, you know what's good? When you're doing a speech, if you're into speech writing and you have a speech laid out, but when you're on the scene and you can manage how, okay, I have 5 minutes left. Okay, let me remix what I intended to speak about and do this instead. So this is some behind the scenes shit going on, man. This is more inside my head shit going on in my head. It's like, yeah, because I want to speak about something else. I'm prioritizing something else I want to speak about and acknowledging that I won't have enough time to say what I really want to say about this thought about tough times never last, but tough people do. I'll probably save it for next episode. Maybe or maybe not. Anyways, write in if I don't to remind me. Right. Okay. My day today. The reason I want to talk about my day is because it was kind of funny and kind of depressing. Two things. One is, so you can't tell, but right now, my right eye is like, half of it is bloodshot red. It's like ugly red. It's like, wow. It's like I'm a little self-conscious by it. And the people who've noticed this are like, damn, what the fuck? You got AIDS? Whatever. I don't know if AIDS causes you to have bloodshot. But it doesn't look normal. It doesn't look okay. And I'm not sure what's causing it. Like, I have this nasal spray, and I started to suspect that maybe that's what's causing it. That's what caused it to go red. So I went to the pharmacy to holler at them. And homie was like, damn. Saw my eye, like, damn, what the fuck? You masturbating? I'm a masturbation guy. Like, it's like fucked up, right? And so the pharmacy is, like, last time my eyes was just red, it was itchy, and it was kind of like pink eye. But I don't know what the fuck it is. So I went to the pharmacy during my lunch break. Early on, and the pharmacist was just like, I'm summarizing, I'm not giving you the detail, but he was like, damn, yo, whatever the fuck you're doing, stop doing it, go talk to your doctor. Go see the doctor. Actually, I'm going to add that to the playlist. Go See the Doctor by Kool Moe Dee. If you haven't heard that song, Kool Moe Dee, Go See the Doctor. It's one of the old school tracks. You'll thank me for it. 3 days ago. No, wait. Three days later, go see the doctor. Oh, I was walking down the street, rocking my beat, clapping my hands and stomping my feet. I saw this little, anyways, the whole song's about him catching an STD, but whatever, man. If you haven't heard it, ask your parents to play it for you. All right, yeah, so doctor freaks out, the pharmacist is like, freaks out. Then again, he might have been in a rush, but he was like, damn, yeah, man, go talk to your doctor. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's definitely not that nasal spray that you use. It might be, but stop using it. Go talk to your doctor. Don't go to jail. Don't collect $200. Go see your doctor. So at first I was like, because I'm a thug. And I went back to work and I'm like, well, come on, man. I can't give up work. And I talked myself into being like, I'm like Tupac. Oh, no. Tupac left the hospital the next day. I went to the hospital. It was lingering in my head. And at some point I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Health before work. So I finally talked myself into going to see the doctor to have it checked out. And two things. One, a thought was crossing my mind. So as I was waiting for the doctor, and there was a lot of, I won't say a lot of, but there was some attractive receptionist. Attractive or whatever. That's not the point. The point is there was receptionists. They were young, enjoying life, and being happy and laughing among each other like coworkers. And sometimes, you know, there's something about young girls when, you know, having fun, it's like that's what makes them attractive. But it hit me in that moment. I'm like, how impossible? I bet you the clinic must be on the list of difficult, most challenging places to pick up chicks. You know, you're at the clinic. Shout out to Talon Macy's. He's got a poem about that. oh, wait a minute. Ice Cube too, I think. But yeah, no, imagine being at not the VD clinic, but you're at the clinic, right? And you see a hot nurse pass by. I mean, well, okay, hold on. Let me back up, right? Because right now I know I'm saying some problematic, toxic shit. The whole idea as a younger person, it was your job as a man to pursue any piece of pussy that you can. Like, you had to pick up chicks. You had to believe that you can do it, that you were the motherfucking man, and there was no such thing as can't pick up a chick. There's no such places that you can't pick up chicks. Anyways, older me is like, yeah, is not reflecting on these things. It's like reevaluating these things. And I'm like, yeah, man, I got to think. I mean, library? No. I mean, the wealth. Let's say you're like, you know, a welfare recipient and going to pick up your check. I imagine that's got to be a difficult place to pick up check. But the VD, the clinic's got to be a difficult place to pick up women. Because they're either sick. If they're not sick, they're part of the staff. And if they're part of the staff, they have access to your health records, right? Now, maybe if you're a young person and you're just going in there because your job forced you to get a physical. So yeah, man, I just don't like that. Yes, I'm a healthy male. Look at my heart, right? But me, I'm an older guy. My health clinic, look, man, I actually asked. I went in there and it was kind of embarrassing, but fuck it, man. I asked my doctor. I'm like, hey, I kind of would like to sample this whole Viagra thing. She's like, nah, you don't need no Viagra, whatever, blah, blah. She, of course, she's trying to talk me out of it because she's a health professional. But I'm like, hey, man, look, I'm about to get, of course, I didn't give her these details, but I'm like, look, I'm going to be in a threesome and I want to be some peak performance. I want to have some peak performance. I want some performance enhancement drugs, please. I ain't trying to disappoint two women. I disappoint one already. I ain't disappointing two. Give me the fucking Viagra and whatever, right? But my point is, I remember asking it for it. So that shit's in my record. Now, it's like I'm trying to picture hollering at the receptionist. He's like, you know, yeah, man, I will rock your world, lady. And she's like, looks up my record. It's like, not with this high blood pressure. Fuck. Sit your ass down, homeboy. Anyway, off topic. I'm just saying, picking up chicks at the clinic. You know what? Okay, fuck it. I'm going to say picking up chicks at the clinic is a challenge. And anyone who tells you differently is full of shit. Full of shit. I don't want to hear it, man. Yeah, no. Because I grew up with dudes who would be like, yeah, nah, fuck it. It's easy. Holy fuck. You just got to blah, blah, blah. You just got to spit some game. If you got game, you could do it. If you're an alpha male like me, you could do it. But maybe a fucking mortal man, peon, bitch-ass nigga like you, of course you can. You can complain, but I would do it. But yeah, I'm just saying. I don't know, man. Yeah, you know, maybe even instead of asking the men, maybe I should ask the women. Have you ever had some guy try to pick you up? Did it work out? And did you look up their health records? Anyway, yeah. So I go see this doctor. Doctor's cool, you know. I'm assuming he's qualified because he's white. Well, usually that's the only qualification you need. I mean, he's white. He must be qualified. And but this is what fucked me up, man. This doctor walks into my room, and his mask is only covering his mouth, not his nose. Let me ask you something. What would Jesus do? Doctor comes in, mask is not covering his mouth. I felt like saying, hey, I was close to saying, hey, homie, shouldn't I be covering your nose? I'm like, yeah. You know what, my friend? You're getting a surprise, what do you call that? Not vasectomy. You're getting a surprise, when they stick a finger up your butt. What's that thing called again? Damn. I wish I had an audience because they scream it out. Fuck. I'm not going to Google what is the doctor procedure of whatever, man. But not that I'm scared of doctors, but I am scared of the fact that this motherfucker had this thing covering his mouth. And I'm like, are you being a rebel? Or is that what you are? Are you the thugs of all doctors? Or are you like how's that conversation going to go? Look, I didn't question the guy. It actually annoys me when people wear the mask and it only covers their mouth. I know it's, look, don't get me wrong. I'm saying the mask is fucking inconvenient. I wear glasses, man. That shit fogs up. I wish I could just have it cover my nose. What I'm saying is do it or don't fucking do it. But this motherfucker is a doctor. So I'm like, it caused me to put everything into question, what they were saying. But anyway, so I'm just saying, I'm not going to tell you about my conversation with the doctor or speak more about my eyes. But I am going to say that I was very uneasy, man. Very uneasy. Last thing is, another thing that went on my day is, look, shout out to those of us during the pandemic have gained weight. I realized that I've been avoiding going to functions because the reality is this. Most of my clothes don't fit me anymore. I love wearing jogging suits. Like, as I'm reflecting on solitude versus loneliness, part of that solitude is not having to buy new fucking clothes. You know why I hate buying clothes? Because I shop at the big and tall store. And sometimes they have your size. Sometimes they don't. When they do have your size, it's fucking expensive. They take it. They profit of it. Anyway, I went to try on some clothes that finally fit me. Jeans, like clothes that you would wear in an office, you know, around white people. So for the first time in 2 years, I bought some new clothes and jeans. And let me tell you something. That fucking size went up. It's up. It's fucking up. When I'm buying clothes, that's why I hate buying clothes. All I can hear is Tupac. Shout out to Tupac, my favorite rapper. But all I can hear was Tupac going, "That's why I fuck your bitch, you fat motherfucker." Every time I'm putting the zip up, "Fat motherfucker, fuck your bitch, unlovable motherfucker, fuck you." Stuff like that. And not in Tupac's voice, but actually in my own voice. But I'm constantly calling. See, you know what's funny? It's my therapist has me doing this exercise where I pay attention to my thought and trying to analyze it, like especially the negative self-thought. But yo, the fatso was, oh man, that's why I hate buying clothes, because my inner voice won't shut the fuck up. It's like mean, won't stop calling me fatso, won't stop calling me all kinds of ugly things. And so the funny thing is, I found clothes that fit. Ooh, I haven't felt that in a while, clothes that fit me properly. But in order for that to fit, holy shit, that size had to go up. It was a challenge, because I was refusing to accept that my size went up, so I was wearing tight clothes. But yeah, I finally found something that was comfortable, not as comfortable as wearing like jogging pants and shit, but finally found something that's comfortable. But that fucking number is high. I can only imagine how, look, I was like dissing myself. And while I was waiting in line, this fat dude, again, I'm in a big and tall suit. This fat, I say fat, someone who's fatter than me comes in. I'm a size 20. He's a size 22, something like that. Anyway, this fat dude came in, and then all my anger went on him. I didn't, in my head, I'm not going to pick a fight in a big and tall store. That motherfucker might have fucked me up. Anyway, yeah, I was taking my rage out on him. That's why Tupac fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. Look at you. No one loves us. Yeah, man. All this to say, I hate buying clothes. I hate having to go out. I hate fucking conforming to this society. Let me be alone, man. That's why. And this just brings me back to my theme of solitude. Because with solitude, you don't have to worry about wearing nice clothes. You know what else hit me while I was buying clothes? I'm 47, and I think I finally reached the age where I stopped giving a fuck about what some woman thinks about my outfit. Like, I used to dress to impress. I used to dress with the idea that this will allow me to reproduce, to increase my chance of sexual, like, shout out to the ladies who, you know, rejected me. Not to make a big deal out of it, but this is me being a man and being, oh, fuck your problems. What about my problems? But you ladies don't know how much effort I went into while you're dissing me. You don't know how much effort I went into buying clothes that would reduce the probability of you dissing me. Yeah, I know you spend a lot of time on your hair, on your outfit, getting your nails done, and all that shit. But what about me, man? What about me? Anyway, yeah. But yeah, so while I was buying clothes, I did not give a fuck. I mean, I just wore what I like. I'm like, yeah, these two goes together. But old me would have been like, I don't know, man. I don't know. You want to Google that shit? What's the latest trends? What do chicks want to hear? Anyway, yeah, that's it. That's it, man. That was my day today, man. That was my day. My bad eyes, doctor with bad mask, trying to figure out how do people pick up chicks at a clinic or whether they do. And buying clothes. That was my day. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. Went over my time. I thought it was going to be shorter, but I mean, it's whatever. I'm not going to use more time to explain how I'm going over my time, because it just make it worse. I'm just going to finish with shout out to Lizzo again. Again, Shut Up Podcast is a full endorser of the Lizzo as an artist. And yeah, if you when I say, you know, if you want to diss Lizzo, then fuck you too. And yeah, you and Whitey. Yeah, it's just an article that came out, and it was about, I'm just going to read the title. Look, apparently someone accused her of saying something like, "Yo, I don't make music for white people." And of course, if you read the article, take the time to to read it, they'll be like, oh no, what she's saying is, I make music from my own experience as a black person, you know, but on the human scale, you could, you know, they did that shit to Lauryn Hill too. But anyway, that's not the point. The point of the article, what I just like is when she's explaining on the kind of music she makes, there's this quote in this article that I enjoy. She says, where is it again? I'll just read the points. It goes, Lizzo told Vanity Fair in the cover story that the criticism that she creates music for a white audience disturbs her the most. Of course, she explained, look, motherfuckers are out for Lizzo. They're out, like, they're just, people are just going to hate her. That's just who she is. And I think part of why I love Lizzo as a human being is how she inspires me to be like, look, fuck it. Let them hate. Let them fucking hate. All I'm doing is breathing. My only crime is breathing. And these motherfuckers are like, my breathing, my existence, my being alive fucks with them. Speaking of bad people, right? People who make Lizzo's life difficult. But anyway, yeah, so that's why it inspires me, because I don't know, man. I wonder if Lizzo has her moment of, I don't know if I was meant to be here, but she don't look like it. I think she's like, fuck it, man. I am meant to be here. I'm taking space. Move out, motherfucker. So that's one of those of us who love Lizzo, love her because she's an inspirational tale. She inspires us to like be like, enjoy this life. Anyway, yeah, so where was that? Yeah, another point. She says, she explained that when black artists reaches a certain level of popularity, it's going to be a predominantly white crowd. Yeah, that's true, man. What's his name? Bernie Mac used to say that. He goes, oh, there's white people in the audience. That means you're successful. And yeah. But that's not what I'm trying to get at. Look, focus. Okay, he goes, Little Lizzo's, whose full name is Melissa Jefferson, said she creates music for me to heal myself from the experience we call life. That's the quote that I love. It just hit me. The experience we call life. Maybe that's going to be the title of this episode. The experience we call life. That or Analyze the Sky. Yeah. Trop fragile pour ce monde. I don't know. Yeah, I think that might be the experience we call life. Because I'm struggling with it, man. I'm trying to make sense of it. As you can tell, man, I'm analyzing the sky, wondering, was I meant to be here? Was I meant to be part of this experience called life? I guess I must, since, you know, I'm going through it right now. But I'm just saying, it's fuck. Fuck. There's days, man. There's fucking days. I got my days. And dealing with it is a bitch. Anyway, before I ramble on. Yo, you know what? I actually enjoyed this episode because, one, I feel like I gave it my all. If this is my last episode, I don't know. I'm not going to record. I'm not going to play it for myself. But I know that I enjoyed speaking out loud. I was having fun with it. I think part of it too is I just finished listening to The Righteous Prick. No, not Righteous. J.L. Covain's, The Righteous Prick podcast. And that's J.L. Covain. He's a comedian, and man, he's not struggling with life. He kind of struggling with life. It's more his career. Anyways, podcast worth listening to. But the way he delivers his material, I feel like I was flowing like he was. Not that I'm copying his style, but he sounds like he's enjoying himself. I don't know. He doesn't sound like he enjoys much in life, but I'm just, look. All I know is I enjoyed this episode. And if it's my last one, I don't know if I should say God forbid, but if it's my last one, that sucks. But I'm just saying, this is the feeling I want to have when I finish an episode. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm saying. That's what made this podcast enjoyable, man. So with that, if you enjoyed it as much as I did, yo, shout out to you. Thank you. You are part of, you are a blessing. I'm grateful. I'm just going to say I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this creation, but I'm grateful if there's someone out there who's going, man, I could dig it. That was not bad. I liked it. You know what I mean? Not tolerated it. Not someone who's like, oh, fuck. I like this, but I didn't like that. Yeah, and I ain't. Nah, fuck that, man. If you'd enjoyed this experience like I enjoyed it, then we're kin. All right? This concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter. B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Do I need to mention at? Anyway, yeah. My username is either B Blizzak, use B Blizzak, or Shut Up Podcast. And website is shutuppodcast.com. Every time I talk about my show notes, you can find it there on the, just find the episode entry for this episode, which is episode number 36. Yeah, 036. Which is, title is, well, you'll figure it out. You'll know the person in the future. You'll know the title by the before I do. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Subscribe using the RSS feed or find me on Google. Subscribe using the RSS feed on the website or find me on Google or Apple Podcasts. You know what? Apparently on Apple Podcast, I mean, I know, I'm trying to figure out how, but on Apple Podcasts, you can rate podcasts. And yeah, you know what? Yeah. Give me a five, I'd appreciate a 5-star rating if you enjoy, if you're one of those people who enjoyed this experience, 5-star ratings, tell a friend to tell a friend. And remember, and also thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Yeah. Peace.